Homage to the blessed, the noble, the perfectly enlightened one. So now is the time to sit in meditation, to listen to the Dhamma that the Lord Buddha taught well, expounded well already, which is to say dana, sila, and bhavana, generosity, virtue, mental cultivation, the benefits of generosity, the benefits of virtue, the benefits of mental cultivation. This is the way to develop our minds, to give rise to knowing, in order to achieve victory over ignorance. Because this quality of ignorance has been influencing the mind since a long time ago, for many lifetimes. It's just this very quality of ignorance that's been taking us to be born and die, born and die, born and die, through the cycle of birth and death. Even within this lifetime, ignorance takes us to be born and dying every single day. We're born every single day. We have this feeling of me and mine, you and yours, this feeling of self. That's the cause for suffering to arise. So all dukkha, all suffering has a cause. So all dhammas have a cause. So all suffering arises from a cause. That cause is clinging, tanha, upadana, a craving and attachment. So we can't reach the end of suffering if we still have the cause there. If we have the cause for suffering, then suffering arises. So the Buddha taught that to reach the end of suffering, we have to address the issue at the cause. So therefore, we must abandon craving and attachment in order for suffering not to arise. And with the cessation of suffering, we realize Nirodha, a cessation, the end of suffering. And how does Nirodha, how does cessation arise? So if we just keep going as things are, we are not able to abandon craving and attachment, just living in a normal way. We might say to our minds, oh, just stop craving, just end craving. But the mind doesn't listen, craving doesn't listen. And if we tell the mind to just stop suffering, just don't suffer, that's even worse, the mind doesn't listen. Because there is suffering because of craving. So we don't want suffering, we don't want dukkha, we don't want clinging, we don't want wrong view. But the mind's been lost for a long time already. So if we just tell the mind to stop, then the mind doesn't listen. So therefore the Buddha taught that we need to practice, we need to train in virtue, collectedness and wisdom, sila, samadhi, panya. So we start in the beginning with generosity, with giving. For instance, giving food, giving alms on alms round. So this is giving or dana. I give sangha dana. And for the mind to give, it's something easy to do. It's something easy to do, for, especially for one who's cultivated that habit previously, one who has made it a regular part of their habitual patterns. One sees it as something that's normal. And also for the sangha, to do the sangha chores, the sangha duties, the sangha meetings, these are all forms of dana, or giving as well, that we're able to do. Then one who has generosity then undertakes the precepts, the practice of sila, the five precepts or eight precepts, which have great benefit, even higher benefit. And generosity as well has a great deal of benefit. See, if we have generosity, we don't long for the wealth of others. We don't feel attracted to taking the wealth of others, but instead we gain our wealth through appropriate means, through the right method. And we also give some of that wealth. which we call the making of merit or doing of merit. So we do this often, and we see that, or we think that our lives, they're not made up of a whole lot. But if we if we give, then it has great benefit. And we see if we don't give, then one day we'll have to throw it all away anyway. Our body dies, we throw it all away. And the one thing that we take with us is this goodness and merit that we've cultivated. And when we do merit and goodness, we don't do it for the sake of our next life, but we do generosity and giving in order to abandon greed, in order to abandon attachment. We see that generosity has benefit for the future, but we don't do it for that reason. We do it to abandon greed. We see that this quality of suffering still doesn't stop, even if we have the quality of generosity. So one with generosity still has the suffering. And then we see that the quality of virtue, for instance, if someone advises us to kill or steal, and we do that, then that's destroying our quality of being human. It's lacking virtue. So we undertake virtue, we practice virtue. And we do generosity a lot, we do giving a lot, which leads the mind to feel joyful, happy, and full. So we practice generosity, we practice it correctly and well, and give to the Sangha, and the mind can feel very spacious and vast. We can help the poor, we feel very full and happy in the mind. And this is giving more strength and energy to the mind, more strength and energy to wisdom. We see that generosity can lead on to meditation, mental cultivation, to lead on to wisdom, to abandon greed, aversion, and delusion. So we have to walk this path of sila, samadhi, panya, virtue, collectedness, wisdom. So like all of us here on this retreat, this Dhamma practice retreat, whether at the monastery here or online, we all have this great opportunity to practice together, whether here locally or far away, in different countries, different continents, different corners of the world. We can all study the Dhamma together. In the past, to be able to listen to the Dhamma talk of a great master, something very difficult to come by. For instance, living with Venerable Ajahn Chah, he would give talks only infrequently, and any kind of tape recordings or CD recordings of those talks were hard to find, hard to get. So we see that nowadays, those who have interest and the wholesome intent or desire to learn, have interest in Dhamma, they're able to find Dhamma talks. But we see that the Dhamma talk channels, they have comparatively little or comparatively few people listening to them, but the channels about worldly things have a lot. So we see that one who's interested in listening to Dhamma is one who sees the drawbacks in the cycle of birth and death, the drawbacks in the agitated mind. And we see that we practice not to crave after these different sense impressions a lot, because they don't give rise to benefit. So we make effort to listen to worldly things only, to listen to them less or only a little, to see them only a little or encounter them only a little. And in this way we make effort to have time to train the mind, to train the mind well, to give rise to happiness. For instance, we look at the example of Venerable Anya Kondanya. He had trained his mind well already. And then when he came to listen to the Dhamma of the Buddha, he saw that everything that arises is of the nature to cease. He was able to understand this. He saw that this quality of dukkha, of suffering, it's normal for it to arise. Its cause is craving. He knew this clearly. He knew that one had to abandon craving. And in this way, suffering doesn't arise. So he saw the noble truths clearly when the Buddha taught the Dhamma. He had virtue already, firmly established samadhi already, but he wasn't yet able to cure the suffering in his mind. He wasn't able to abandon attachment in the sense of self. But then, having known that everything arises and ceases, seeing not self, seeing emptiness, he saw the Dhamma. So we see that this accumulation or cultivation of spiritual perfections of parami is important. We have the five indriya, the five powers. We say that they're leaders: faith, effort, mindfulness, samadhi, and wisdom. So we look at the quality of faith as a leading quality, or faith as the leader. So we all have this quality of faith, belief and inspiration in the Buddha Dhamma Sangha, belief that the Buddha is real, and the Buddha truly did awaken, truly did abandon defilement. And we see that there's a benefit to this. And we have the faith and belief that if one follows the Dhamma teachings of the Buddha, then one can truly attain to the end of suffering, and that there are those disciples, those Sangha, that have practiced well and realized the end of suffering for themselves, having followed the Buddha's teachings. They've attained for themselves, seen the Dhamma for themselves. So we have this faith and belief, and therefore we have effort to practice and train, to meditate according to the teachings, to make effort to apply ourselves, to have perseverance. We see this quality of faith, it's a power, it's a leader. And from that, we give rise to effort. If it's only faith, only belief, we have to be careful with that, because we can get lost in that way. The fact that we all have faith in the right way of practice, that's our merit, our previously accumulated good habits. So then when the teacher comes and teaches, then we have effort to practice following those teachings. We have effort to have virtue, to practice virtue, to practice mindfulness, to practice samadhi, to have a lot of mindfulness. So we train and practice like this. And sometimes we feel that we can't do it. We try to have a lot of mindfulness, but our mindfulness lapses often, and we lack mindfulness often. This means our mindfulness isn't stable, our samadhi isn't stable, and in this way wisdom doesn't arise. Craving and attachment arise, views and conceit arise. So we understand that this is the ignorance in the mind that's been covering over the mind for a long time already. So we have to have a mind that's cool. We can't be too hot-headed about it, or too much in a rush. Usually Dhamma practitioners, they have this hot-headedness or impatience. They want to see the results quickly, get the fruits of practice quickly, get knowledge quickly. And we can ask, well, is this really possible? Well, if the parami isn't sufficient, then it doesn't happen. It's like a 7-year-old that's studying in school and they want to get a university degree right away. They want to get their doctoral degree right away. So we can ask, well, is that possible for them? So we have to train first, have patient endurance first, patiently endure, have effort, and keep lifting up one's mind, follow the teachings of the great masters, and practice and train the mind not to fall into liking or disliking, not to be pulled by attraction or pushed with aversion. And we can ask, well, why do we still have liking and disliking then? Well, it arises very quickly. The eye sees a form, and it's perceived as pleasant or unpleasant, and liking and disliking arise right there. It happens quickly. So never mind about this for now. Just have mindfulness to know that that's happening, that it's like this in the present. We have this feeling of liking arise in the present, or feeling of disliking arise. And so we endeavor to meditate, to recite Bhutto, 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 to bring the mind to collectedness and peace. And then the liking and disliking fade away, they disappear. And where have they gone? Before they arose, the liking and disliking weren't there. But then the eye sees a form, or the ear hears a sound, and so on. Liking and disliking arise just like that. And then they pass away again. But the mind clings to it, that I am liking something, or I'm disliking something. And that's arisen already. So we practice that when liking or disliking arise, we know them as they arise, stay for a little while, and cease. They don't stay for a long time. But if our mindfulness is weak, then the liking and disliking stay for a longer time. We take it as self. We proliferate based on it. And so it's not just liking or just disliking, but there's liking, there's craving, becomes a problem, and then we proliferate based on it. There's proliferation based on that liking. There's disliking, that we don't want that. We have desire for not becoming, vibhava tanha. We proliferate based on that again. And that can go on for a whole day, a whole night, to the point where we cry out, and we might have tears flow from the eyes. We might have some memory of the past arise, what we call a dhamma aramana, a dhamma sense object. It's a memory, the mind clings to it already. The mind clings to that memory, that mind object as self, as me and mine. Takes the sanya, the perception and memory as self, and clings to it. Liking arises, disliking arises, the mind proliferates based on that. So like this, then the mind is lost in the sense objects. So one who's lost in sense objects is one who's lost in the world. The one who's lost in the world is one who's lost in sense objects. This is a teaching of Venerable Ajahn Chah. So we see that sense objects are the world. The world is sense objects, or aramanas. Being lost to them, suffering arises. So what should we do to let go then? We need to give rise to wisdom. In order to let go, we need to have mindfulness and wisdom. We need to train in samadhi and collectedness to make our minds firmly established in peace. We contemplate in order to not cling, to not attach. This contemplation can lead the mind to be stable and firm through contemplation. We can also meditate with a meditation word or mantra, like Bhutto, Bhutto, Bhutto. We can use contemplation as well to make the mind clear and stable. This is possible. For instance, if we feel anger arise, we contemplate and recollect that I must die. Now I'm subject to illness, that illness is arising constantly. Why should I be angry? I must die. Why should I have ill will, aversion, or wishing to harm? We see that it arises, states of aversion, because we haven't seen the Dhamma yet. There's anger, ill will, wishing to harm, and wishing, or having vibhava tanha, desire for experience to end. So we think in terms of self, in terms of me and mine. So we practice and train the mind to see it as not self, not me and mine. We see it's the quality of ignorance, avijja, that deceives the mind to think that it's me, mine, you and yours, to think that it's self. We think in terms of self on the individual level, the family level, the level of the town, city, country, the whole world. That's all because of craving and attachment. So we have to train to let it go, to let go of that clinging, because we see that we suffer because of clinging, because of craving for sensuality, craving for becoming, craving for not becoming. So we're lost in all these cravings. So what should we do then when we train? So today being the first full day of our retreat together, it's our first full day. Yesterday you may have been tired from traveling, so we had the retreat opening ceremony. But today your bodies are strong and recovered. So today you can train with your meditation object fully throughout the whole day. So may you have mindfulness well established. Mindfulness with the left foot as it steps, with the right foot as it steps. Bhutto, bhutto. Mindfulness with eating, to reduce the thinking in the mind and to recite bhutto a lot, to have a lot of mindfulness. And within 3 days, the mind can become peaceful and collected. We listen to the Dhamma. We establish the mind in samadhi well. We're listening to the Dhamma, and we see that there's no more Dhamma that's one is listening to. There's no more meditation hall. There's no more self. It's all empty. Everything is empty. That's Nibbana, in the emptiness. The mind is empty as well. So we see everything is empty. It all arises and ceases. This is seeing the Dhamma, just like Venerable Anya Kondanya. So we train and practice together like this. We do it a lot, practice a lot, develop a lot. We have this quality of faith already. So we train and have effort and perseverance. And we see that one realizes the cessation of suffering through effort. So may you all set your hearts on this. May you eat little, sleep little, speak little, have a lot of mindfulness. So I and the Sangha will lead you in the practice of Dhamma. And may you all grow in Dhamma. May you all grow in blessings.